Welcome, everybody. We're going to be back into, well, not back into, because we did it last week, too. We've been in this series called Annual Inspection, kind of using our airplane metaphor. If you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, if you go on to restandbible.org/homefront, you can sort of watch the video intro and all of the previous messages in this series. But we're using this metaphor of an airplane inspection to get sort of get under the hood, so to speak, of our marriages. And this week, we're going to be talking about having a vision for our marriage. So we'll be using the metaphor of flight planning, right? So we're talking about flight planning for your marriage. And we talked about, and I think in the first part of this, what is the overarching common vision for marriage that God gives us, right? We talked about airframe and power plant, the airframe being the basic structure of an aircraft. And we said that that, for our marriages, is this idea of the covenant of marriage that is designed to reflect the glory of the relationship between Christ and the church, right? So that's overarching general for everybody. And then we said the power plant is God's grace through Christ in us, sort of working itself out through our marriages. So that was our airframe and power plant. But what I want to talk about today is sort of understanding God's specific plan for the mission of your marriage, which is going to be different from mine and from everybody else sitting at your table. How does he specifically want to use your marriage to reflect the glory of Christ in the church, right? So we all know the basic objective, but how is God going to use, how is he knitting the two of you together with your individual gifts and talents and interests and passions and all those kinds of things, and how does God want to use that on his mission? And thinking about the, you know, the here, sure, there we go. Flight planning. You know, the general rules of aviation are the same for all aircraft, right? The laws of physics that govern flight are the same across the board, but there's all kinds of aircraft flying all kinds of missions and all kinds of routes for all kinds of specific purposes. And so if we take that metaphor and we apply it to our to the vision that God has for our marriage, I think you'll see how it carries over. So what I want us to talk about today, and then this little talk, and it's going to be short because it's community breakfast day, but I want to start, have this talk kind of help us to begin to answer two questions. The first question is this: why is marriage flight planning important? So, you know, or what are the benefits of it to your marriage? And then the second part of the question is, if it's a good thing, if it's beneficial, then how do we go about doing it? So we're going to try to begin to answer both of those. And part of my research, I sat down with my oldest, who is a flight instructor and beginning in March will be a first officer for a regional airline. And I asked him, you know, what goes into a flight plan? Why do you flight plan? Why don't pilots just get in a plane and go? You know what, like we do with a car. Like, I don't know where I'm going. I'm not going there. I'm going for a drive. Why don't pilots do that? Even if the plan is just to go sightseeing, there's a plan. So what's up with that? And so some of the things that he shared with me, you know, go along the lines of what I was talking about. Every plane, is designed for a particular mission. So, for example, you know, a Cessna 172, which is a small single-engine plane, I think it seats maybe four people. That is not the aircraft that you're going to select to do, cargo delivery. It's just not wise, right? You're not going to fly cargo. If you own a float plane, if that's the aircraft that you have access to as a float plane, you're not going to want to, you know, plan any high-speed transportation or long-distance transportation because they're slow and short-distance aircraft, and you also want to make sure you have some water to land on, right? You wouldn't take a C-130 out for a day of sightseeing, right, or a pleasure flight. You wouldn't take an F-16 to deliver supplies to missionaries in the Amazon. So I think you get the picture. There's all kinds of aircraft for different purposes, and considering the type of aircraft at their disposal is part of, like, what plane am I flying today is obviously a big part of their flight planning. The other thing is that a good pilot is going to consider all of the conditions that they will likely encounter and plan for those. So things like the weather, things like the type of cloud cover, the altitude of the clouds and their composition, the airspace that they're going to pass through. You know, are they going to pass through any military training airspace? All of those things and a lot more will go into their flight planning so that they can respond to conditions rather than react to them. because they've thought through them already. They even will go so far in their training as to, you know, imagine potential events that are maybe a little bit less likely, but game plan those or game those out in their minds so they know how to respond. Have you ever seen the movie Sully? Have you seen that? Right. So, you know, that was something that he had gamed out in his mind a lot, and so he knew when it happened. He wasn't reacting so much as he was responding to the situation. So the idea of flight planning is that, you know, it's going to remove as many unknowns as possible from the equation, right? And you can't possibly remove the unknowns from the equation unless you know where you're planning on going. Number one, you have to have a destination, so you're going to take off. Where are you going? How are you going to know what airspace you're going to go through if you don't know where you're going? And then how do you plan to get there? So knowing your destination and knowing the route that you plan on taking to get there, along with what kind of plane are you flying, what are the conditions, all of those things go into to putting together your flight plan. So how does that translate over into marriage? What are the benefits and what goes into marital flight planning? So I'm going to suggest to you four benefits, and there's probably more, and hopefully at your table you guys can go through some of those. But the first one is clarity. If you don't know what you're aiming at, how are you going to know when you hit it? If you're just sort of floating through marriage without purpose, without an objective, without a vision, how do you know if you're doing it well? Right? It becomes sort of subjective. And I think if you look at the broad sweep of Scripture, our God is a God who brings order out of chaos. He states in His Word that He has a will, He has a desire, He has an objective, and that no one and no thing will thwart His will. I think that kind of clarity of vision in our marriage will keep us from flying off course. So having clarity is one of the benefits of having a flight plan. The second one is what I'm calling sanctified tenacity. Right? If, you know, just in general human psychological terms, if you have a clear objective, you're much more likely to be motivated to accomplish the objective. And when you have a flight plan, you take that up a notch, when you have a flight plan that's been given to you by God, He also equips us and empowers us to fulfill it, to pursue it. Right? Philippians 2:13, right? For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. So sanctified tenacity, it's very difficult to be tenacious after an objective if you don't know what the objective is. If there is no objective. You're just sort of, hey, I think Pastor Minner a couple of weeks ago talked about a story where, is that me? Cracklin? Oh, okay. The older person was talking to a younger person, and he said, "So what are your plans?" And he said, "Oh, you know, I want to get a good education, and then what? And I want to get a good job, and then what? And I want to make a lot of money, and then what? And then what? And then I die, and then what?" Right. So the idea of having a clear objective, an eternal objective, something that's been God-given, is going to help us to be more tenacious in sticking to that goal. So clarity and sanctified tenacity. The third one is I'm calling strength and victory. Right? If we're just up around wandering aimlessly, we're much more likely to wander into trouble. Right? If we don't have a clear destination, Scripture talks, God talks to Joshua and to others, don't turn to your left or to your right. Right? There's a clear destination, there's a clear objective, there's a clear flight plan, and the command of God is not to veer off in one direction or another. If we are floating along without a clear vision of what our particular marriage, without a clear vision of what marriage is about, and then without a clear vision about what our particular union is designed for, we're much more likely to wander off and get into trouble. So a clear God-given vision is going to help us avoid the path of temptation. It's going to help us stand up under temptation when it does come, right? Proverbs 29:18, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. Blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. A great example of this is the obvious one is David and Bathsheba. Classic story. Time of year when the armies, where the kings are off waging war, and where was David? Was he off waging war? No. He was home, lounging about the palace with nothing to do. And he was off of his flight plan. He was strayed from his mission. He's wandering about on his rooftop, and we all know how the story ends. So strength and victory is something that is a clear benefit of having a flight plan in our marriage. The last one, then, is unity. Right? James 4:2 gives us the basic analysis. Where do all of our arguments come from, whether it's just brothers and sisters in Christ or as couples? When we want something and we don't get what we want. Right? Selfishness is the root of all of our arguments. If you were to go back and analyze every single argument you've ever had with your spouse, it all comes down to one thing. I wanted it my way, and I didn't get it my way. I didn't get treated the way I wanted to get treated. My need wasn't fulfilled the way I wanted to get filled. Whatever it happens to be, what I wanted didn't happen, and therefore there was an argument. And this is not to say that sharing a flight plan means that you'll never have turbulence, because you will. But when you're working towards the same goal, even when you disagree exactly on how to reach the goal, you're much more likely to work through those things because you both know where you want to get to. So it'll draw you together in a common objective and draw you closer together in that oneness that God is at work doing in your marriage. So those are our four benefits. Like I said, you might have come up with some other ones at your table. I encourage you to do that and then share them with me. I'd love to hear that. So clarity, sanctified tenacity, strength and victory, and unity are all things that should flow out of having a clear vision for where your particular marriage is going and how God wants to use it. So those are the benefits. How do we get there? What are the steps to developing that vision? We all know what our big objective is, our big vision of our marriage is, to reflect the glory of Christ in the church. But how do we figure out, how do we discern what God wants to do particularly with our marriage? How do we develop that vision or that flight plan? So I'm going to share with you some steps that I think work well. Nothing particularly revolutionary about this. If you've ever done any business training on developing visions, you'll probably pick up on some commonalities here. This one I've sort of adapted from an organization called Marriage Missions International, but it's, like I said, it's not unique. And I will say this, each of these steps has to be bathed in a ton of prayer, because we're not developing a vision for a business. We're not developing a vision for an organization. This is a vision, a flight plan for a marriage, a union between a man and a woman that God ordained, that God brought together. And so we need his guidance to figure out how he wants this to look. Okay? So, first one. This goes back to our metaphor. What are you flying? Do you know what your unique giftings are, the unique giftings of your spouse, your talents, your passions? What kind of plane has God given the two of you to fly? What's your personality type? All of those things are going to go into discerning how God wants to use the two of you together for his glory. How do you figure that one out? Well, there's all kinds of tools out there. Equipping the Saints, we have a class called One Body, Many Parts, which dives into a lot of that. Take the class with your spouse. It's going to be offered this spring, actually, at the 10:45 service, so you don't have to miss home front. But then you'd have to listen to me twice because I'm teaching it. Anyway, don't want to dissuade you. But you need to get in it and figure out what that is. Figure out how God has put it together. What are you flying? And then make some notes about it, write it down, develop a profile for yourselves. And as you go on, recognize that may change as well. So you might have been one type of plane when you first got married, and now somehow God, as he's continued to work in the two of you, has changed you into some other different kind of aircraft for another purpose. And so our purpose in our marriage, the purpose of our marriage, can change over time. So don't think, oh, well, I have it all figured out because I figured it out when we were in our fifth year of marriage, and now we've been married for 30 years. That may not be. So you need to keep those things up to date and continue to ask those questions and make notes. So the first thing is know what plane you're flying. The second one is set your destination. Where are you planning on going? Where are you flying to? And I would say you could start those flight planning statements or those vision statements by writing out sort of what are the words that would describe or that you would like to describe your marriage. Like if someone else were talking about your marriage, what would you like to hear about yourselves? This is sort of, you know, putting out your ideal and then writing that down on paper. You know, going to use your nouns, your verbs, your adjectives, all of those things. Consolidate those into some sentences that inspire, that motivate you. Things that are short and clear for the two of you. I would even suggest you get the input from some friends. Maybe your children, if you've got, you know, children that are old enough to give input on something like that. Ask the question, how would you describe our marriage? How do you see us? Those are all going to be important inputs as you determine the direction of your marriage. The third one is setting your course. So once you know where you're going, where you want to go, then you figure out how are we going to get there? And in marriage, the way that we figure out how we're going to get there is by determining what are our essential principles as a couple. Right? What are the key descriptors of us or the key tools that we plan to apply in our marriage? You know, it could be things like clear, honest communication always. That's a good principle. Building and protecting trust. Another great principle. Making disciples. I mean, you can go on. And all of these things, if you think about the principles should be things that will help you be prepared for any unplanned turbulence you may encounter en route. These are things that are going to help stabilize the aircraft of your marriage when turbulence comes, because it will come. That part of it is sort of outside of our control. And then I would say review your flight plan. You know, review and refine your flight plan with your spouse over and over again until you agree that it describes sort of the ideal picture of your marriage. So that's the third part. And then finally, you know, display it, memorize it, visualize it, you know, put it in an obvious place in your home, read it, put it on stationery, I don't know, whatever you've got to do, so that is something that you are reminded of daily so that you can continue to focus on it. Because as you begin to live toward that, with the understanding that turbulence will come, but also with the recognition that your marriage is in God's hands, and you know, as His Word tells us in Lamentations, His compassions are new every morning. So as we, you know, as the turbulence or the wind, you know, blows us off course, we can keep our eye on that goal that God has helped us to develop for our marriage and bring the aircraft back in line and continue on towards our objective. That kind of daily reminder is going to be important in that. And like I said, you know, we all fall short. Every one of us. Don't think about, you know, well, I'm going to put this impossible goal out there for myself and then I'm going to fail to reach it and then that's going to be depressing. If you focus, I'll put it to you this way. Know that as on the path, there will be failures. But if you know the objective and you can, you know, with the Lord's help, bring that your aircraft back in line with your destination, you'll continue to move forward. God will continue to do the work. What does His Word tell us, right? He will continue to do the work that He began in you. He'll carry it on to completion. We need to be able to trust that and understand that, you know, passages like 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's for us as believers. That's not just at the moment of salvation. That's God saying, listen, I know you're going to fall. I know you're going to fail. I know the turbulence is going to push you off course. But just confess that to me and pick yourself up and I'll pick you up and we'll continue to walk together through this. And I also say that when you, it's actually a physiological thing. If we are focused on an objective and we're walking towards the objective, we're without looking down and around at our surroundings, we're much less likely to trip and fall than if we're looking down here and just occasionally picking up our head to see where we're going. You know, if you've ever ridden a motorcycle and you have to go through, and they teach you how to go through curves on a motorcycle, you know what they teach you? Anybody, motorcyclists? You look beyond the curve, right? You look to where you're going. You don't look at the curve and follow the curve. I've used this example before. I had a kinesiology class in my undergraduate years, many, many years ago. And our professor had us, to make a point, had us walk upstairs. And the first time he had us walk up the stairs, he had us think about all of the muscles involved and the joints involved and the ligaments, etc. He said, look down at your feet, walk up the stairs, and think about everything that's involved in the mechanics of walking up the stairs. And almost everybody stumbled at some point going up the stairs. And then he had us all go back down, and he said, okay, now, and he stood at the top, he said, I want you to just look at me and walk up the stairs. Don't think about anything else, just look at me and walk up the stairs. Nobody tripped. Everybody just walked up the stairs. And the spiritual point to that is as we focus our eyes on Christ and on the plan and the purpose of our marriage that he has given us, we are much less likely, I would say almost impossible that we're going to veer off course. And when we do veer off course, we can know for sure that's because we took our eyes off of the goal. We began to look around as the wind came and the turbulence came. We began to do like the disciples in the boat, or Peter as he walked on the water. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He started to look at the waves and go, ah, right? And that's when things fell apart. But know that all you have to do is call out like Peter did, and Jesus is there to pull you back up and put you back on the right path. So that's where our discussion is going to be today. I want to put up the discussion questions. We probably have about 20 minutes to talk. Hopefully that will be enough. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into it. Father in heaven, thank you again just for giving us an opportunity to talk with one another, to look into your word, and to discuss our marriages and how they might best be used for your glory. We ask that you bless our conversation, that it would be edifying to each of us here, and that it would be honoring and glorifying to you and pleasing in your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.